Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's show. I'm your host, Zach Drew. I wanted to start out this program by giving you an extremely important update concerning this show. So I was notified last week that the PTL Television Network, which is one of the networks that this show is on, has had to go off of all of their Comcast cable markets. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. That is going to be a huge financial blow for this program that takes us out of several million homes. You know, compared to where we were a year and a half ago, we actually took about a 40% financial hit. And that was before this news, which just struck. This is a pivotal moment for this program, and I am here to say to you clearly, we need your help. And also, I want to thank Mike for becoming a monthly partner this week. I want to thank Deidre for becoming a monthly partner this week as well. And I also want to thank Dan and Mary Ann for your increased giving through our Tithely platform. Now, this is really important. Some of the Comcast markets are still on for just a short time longer. Actually, as I didn't even know this. A friend from Detroit sent me an image that, you know, from his Comcast, you know, listings of shows that we are still on this week and maybe even for another week or two longer. I'm not sure. But if you're watching on Comcast cable, you need to immediately find another avenue to watch this show. I would encourage you to subscribe to us on Rumble. It's a platform that does not censor our content, and it is a free platform for us to be on right now. And listen, we need, this is what we have to have. So I told you the news, and it's been devastating news to me. Just, you know, I'm really having to trust the Lord. There are certain scriptures that are just permeating through my mind these last few weeks, but we have to raise an additional $4,000 a month in recurring giving. So that's $48,000 a year. That is what we have to do. We have to do this, or we do not continue. That's 40 people giving $100 a month. There are hundreds and hundreds. We've seen the numbers. There are hundreds, and there's actually thousands of people that watch this program that have yet to get involved, and we're asking you to get involved. And maybe you are involved. We ask you to get involved even to a greater way. We need 40 people to give $100 a month, or 160 people to give just $25 a month to continue moving forward. And here's the thing. There are people that are just in either incredibly wealthy or incredibly generous, because there have been people that have given substantial amounts to this ministry. And, you know, one of my dear friends, well, he's gone to be with the Lord now, but I'm still in contact pretty frequently with his wife. I remember one year we were in a financial thing, a fundraiser, where we were trying to, you know, get on networks, and they gave $25,000, and I called them and talked to them, and he was for the last large part of his life, he was a city bus driver. And I'm like, my gosh, the generosity of these people that believe in what we're doing. And I'm asking you, if you are capable, or if God is speaking to you, if you feel something, you know, if someone was willing to give $1,000 a month in recurring giving, we'd only need four people to do that. You know, there's scriptures, you know, Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. That's where we are. And in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen. Listen, I people have said before, you know, Zach, I appreciate the way you talk. You never leave us guessing. You're going to tell it exactly how it is, and this is how it is. We need your help, and we need to raise $4,000 every month. In addition to what we have, And this is to make everything keep going with the accountant, with the Andrew Beller's editing, with our contractor for all of our web, with there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars of just subscription things that have to go up. For us to continue doing what we're doing, we need to raise $4,000 more each month. So if you can simply go to ZachDrewShow.com, and I'm praying that at the end of this show, I can actually log on and just thank God for what he's doing. And I thank God in advance for what he's going to do. And I thank God, I don't want you to think that I'm losing faith in the Lord. I'm just, you know, I am human. And I would be lying if I said that it wasn't some nights where I wake up at 3 a.m. and I'm thinking to myself, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Go to ZachDrewShow.com and click that bright orange donate button. And you have the option to donate there through either Tithe, which is the Christian payment system, or PayPal. Please don't forget to click that automated payment button so that we know we can count on you each month. You can also give through the mail. You can send any donations to IGBY, The Zach Drew Show. Either one. You can say IGBY, that's just our covering that we named everything, which stands for I Go Before You, a promise that God gave Joshua and Moses. Send it to IGBY, The Zach Drew Show, at P.O. Box 797, Decatur, Illinois, 62525. I'm asking you to get involved. We can't do this without God and his faithful people standing with us. We'll be right back after this to start today's program. Do you know what term didn't exist 2,000 years ago whenever Jesus was giving his Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24? Cultural Marxism. You know, I actually believe that you can make a strong case that Jesus references cultural Marxism in Matthew 24 as a sign of the times, as the birth pains or the time of sorrows, your translation might say, that describes what the world is going to look like before his return. Now, I had about 10 pages of content I did not get to last week, and I'm going to be going through a lot of that today because I believe it's really important. But by way of quick review, and I'm going to do my best, last week we talked about this crazy article, this crazy news stating that the Federal Aviation Administration, FAA, and that's going to be more on the FAA later, is taking diversity, equity, and inclusion, that is an acronym, DEI, to a whole new level. We talked about how the federal government has ordered the FAA to prioritize hiring people with a wide range of disabilities, everywhere from, quote, according to their article, their publication, with severe intellectual disability. Severe intellectual disability. And this is not to say that you know, I am in any way, shape, or form anti-people that are what you'd refer to maybe as able-bodied in any way. But what we're seeing, I'm going to break it down to you, is a faction of cultural Marxism where they are, you know, I'm just going to save it for just a moment. So they have said, we've got to hire people with severe intellectual disability and psychiatric disability to paralysis, to, quote, complete paralysis and dwarfism, which I don't know how that one kind of relates to the other ones. But anyway, this cultural Marxism is flowing directly, make no mistake, from the White House, directly from the Biden administration. And obviously it predates him, but the reason we're seeing this huge influx right now with the DEI is because of the Biden administration. There's an article, Executive Order on Diversity, Equity, Inclusion, and Accessibility in the Federal Workforce. This article is directly from the White House. Okay, this is whitehouse.gov. And it says, by the authority vested in me, this is Joe Biden speaking, as president, by the Constitution and the laws of the United States of America, and in order to strengthen the federal workforce by promoting diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility, it is hereby ordered as follows. Section 1, policy. On my first day in office, I signed Executive Order 13985, advancing racial equity and support for underserved communities through the federal government, which established that affirmatively advancing equity, civil rights, racial justice, and equal opportunity is the responsibility of the whole of our government. To further advance equity within the federal government, this order establishes that it is the policy of my administration to cultivate a workforce that draws from the full diversity of the nation. Accordingly, the federal government must strengthen its ability to recruit, hire, develop, promote, and retain our nation's talent and remove barriers to equal opportunity. It must also provide resources and opportunities to strengthen and advance diversity, equity, inclusion, that's DEI, and accessibility across the federal government. This is cultural Marxism. This list comes from Vadi Bakum. The example, the liberal mind hates what is referred to as the power holders. It's the word called cultural hegemony. And you are the enemy in America today if you are able-bodied. That is one of them. And that is why what we're seeing. You're also the enemy if you are white. If you are white, you are the enemy, okay? The next article we're going to be going through is another one from FAA concerning DEI. Plan to reduce the number of white males in aviation. Matt Walsh reveals troubling internal footage of FAA discussion on DEI agenda. Because you are the enemy if you are able-bodied. But the list is this. White, male, American, cisgender, which means you identify as either simply male or female, straight, able-bodied, and Christian. And everyone who is not that is a victim of the cultural hegemony established by those individuals. So, like I just mentioned, another blatant in-your-face article dealing with cultural Marxism in America is that article concerning the FAA, plan to reduce the number of white males in aviation. So, the Daily Wire host Matt Walsh posted a thread on X recently that featured internal footage of Federal Aviation Administration officials workshopping a plan to reduce the number of white males in America. So the footage obtained by Walsh shows a video conference from April 2022 where Acting Deputy Chief Operating Officer Angela McCullough argued for more airline workers to go from, quote, from ramp to cockpit, complaining that flight operations is white male dominated. McCullough then argued that the agency needs to get a little uncomfortable and talk about what the future could look like. Now, David Will Riggins, the FAA's vice president of flight program operations, he responded to those comments by saying, "That's great. Honestly, those are some words that we really need to spend some time digging through and thinking about." So Matt Walsh, once again speaking on this on the matter, said this. He said that, here's the quote, "This footage, which is from April 2022, is a sign of a much larger problem. Over the past few weeks, I have heard from several members of the aviation industry who tell me that DEI is endangering the public and distracting them from their work. A second source, a pilot I've confirmed works at Delta, tells me that Delta has recently promoted a trans-identifying pilot who repeatedly received bad reviews from captains. According to the source, the pilot would likely not have survived probation if he weren't trans. For example, the source notes that Delta routinely makes exceptions for trans-identifying pilots concerning grooming and behavioral standards. Internally, Delta has even published a lengthy guide for pilots who believe they were born in the wrong body." Can you imagine an airliner, Delta, publishes lengthy guide for pilots who believe they were born in the wrong body? Here is one of the messages actually Walsh received from this Delta pilot. Go ahead and put that on the screen. "We recently had a transgender pilot repeatedly receive negative reviews during his first year probationary period from captains he flew with regarding attitude, CRM, and judgment. Yet the chief pilot's office was unwilling to address the issue. Had this not been a transgender pilot, the individual would likely not have successfully completed their probationary period. Coincidentally, that CPO has a management pilot on staff who recently transitioned, who is able to weigh in on these matters. Another source told Walsh that he is inundated with DEI proposals such as making, quote, gender-inclusive seatbelts, even though this man's job is to design advanced military systems. Take a listen to this. This is his message. We hire college graduates with zero experience who get assigned a project and immediately start pushing this nonsense. For context, I work in a field where my job is to design military systems for the warfighter, and I have to deal with new hires pitching me ideas about gender-inclusive seatbelts. Companies are made up of two types of individuals, those who eat, sleep, and breathe DEI/ESG, you know, the pronoun in their email signature people, and those who keep their mouths shut and do the work. We have affirmation groups, protections, and heritage months for every single type of person except white men. If I don't have at least two DEI/ESG meetings or trainings per week on my calendar, then the all-hands town hall meetings have some sort of DEI baked into the agenda. We constantly have lunches, dinners, happy hours, movie nights, holiday celebrations, all in the name of DEI, led by ESG champions, while the rest of us try to get our work done. I'll end with this quote from Matt Walsh. It's only a matter of time until this combination of incompetence and anti-white discrimination leads to a major air disaster. The aviation industry needs a completely new mandate, one that's focused solely on safety before a lot of people die. Once again, there is a strategic plan to vilify white people, to vilify males, to vilify Americans globally, to vilify people that say they're just men or they're just women, the sex they were assigned at birth, to vilify straight people, able-bodied people. You're the enemy. You're the villain. And ultimately understand this. The last piece on this totem pole, and they're going to attack like you've never seen before, is Christianity. You're already seeing it to some degree. You're starting to see the move. It's coming, people. Radical hate is coming for people that believe the Bible, that are unwilling to move in their convictions, that are unwilling to say anything other than Jesus is the mediator between God and man, that there is no other way in which we can be saved. There is coming a war against people who are unwilling to say that sin is sin, that fundamentalist, people that believe the word of God and what it says, we haven't seen anything yet. We're living in the end of times. And by the way, before I even get to what Jesus had to say about what I believe about cultural Marxism, Matthew 24, This is what the public education system in America is teaching our kids. These crazy things. Like, if you have severe psychiatric problems, to elevate them into a position to where they're now responsible for hundreds of people flying in a metal tube at hundreds of miles an hour, or have people with severe mental capabilities, their brain doesn't work right, to be given any type of major decision-making in any type of aviation capacity. Like, if anybody would hear these things just a couple of decades ago, they would say, like, what? I honestly, I feel like if people are reading about America's history, if the Lord would tarry in a few hundred years and the world gets back on track, they're just going to read and be like, what were these people thinking? I'll tell you what they're thinking. They're thinking that the good things are evil and that the evil things are good. They're possessed by Satan. They are led by their father, the devil. That is what's taking place. And they're teaching our kids this in the schools. And actually, this absolutely ridiculous article I just read, this Bay Area school district spent $250,000 on woke kindergarten program. And guess what? The test scores fell even further. There was an article, I don't even think I even have it in my format today, that talked about, here it is, that diversity training actually increases, no surprise, prejudice and activates bigotry among participants, new study says. Another article that we're seeing, UC speaker uses Black History Month to launch into racist attacks. Whites are psychopaths. You know, I thought about going through that entire article and pretending like it was an article from, you know, like the the 1960s and we're changing out every word where it says black for white and white for black and just leaving you totally disgusted and angry that any white person would ever have these horrible things come out of their mouth and then just simply drop the bomb at the end saying, hey, you know what? It actually was the exact opposite. Like, we can't imagine it. And we've been so desensitized to, you know, feel so, slavery was so wicked, was so evil. But yet, we are conditioned to feel like we still have to give reparations. This isn't anything against another race. This is cultural Marxism at work. We're supposed to feel bad about how God created certain races and good about how, no, we're all equal. Like, one of the songs that I sing often with my kids is that Jesus loves all the little children, red, yellow, black, and white. We are all precious in his sight. How can one race be exalted? Because here's the thing, and understand this. So white, male, cisgender, once, if they can succeed and they destroy the white culture in 150 years, whatever culture is on top, whether it is Asian, whether it is Hispanic, whether it is African American, they will then be the enemy. And whoever is on bottom, whether it's anyone, whether it's white people on bottom, it's the continuous power struggle. It's not like they're truly actually against white people or for white people. They don't care. They're about creating class warfare. They're about pitting the races against each other. They do not care what color you are. They care about destroying society so that the few at the top can benefit from this. And by the way, I wanted to go back to the article that this woke school, $250,000 on woke kindergarten program. But the irony is this, the test scores fell even further. Yet the district officials continued to defend the program, saying the kindergarten did what it was hired to do. Unbelievable. And, you know, and also a quick side note, because I want to make this clear. There have been an unbelievable amount of injustices made against, in America, primarily against people of color. And the Christian wants to make it right. And that is right. We need to make that right. Whenever we see any injustice of any kind, the natural response should be that of justice, of correcting it. But there is a term that has been perverted and changed, and that is social justice. And you to be a Christian and to be for social justice is irreconcilable. You know, I wanted to just quickly say this. At first glance, the term social justice is tricky for the Christian that loves the Lord. The difficulty with social justice is that it appears to be virtuous and sounds Christian when it's being employed by even Christian leaders. However, social justice is one of the most devious and destructive movements the church has faced in the last 100 years. You see, Christians are right to pursue justice, to pursue peace, to pursue unity. These are biblical mandates, but to pursue justice is not the same thing as pursuing social justice. The actual definition of social justice is this: justice in terms of the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. At the very core, social justice is socialism. Now, the definition of just means guided by truth, reason, justice, and fairness, done or made according to principle, equitable, proper, based on right, rightful, lawful, in keeping with truth or fact. I believe, and I've said this many times, that I think that the church is going to be unified in the end times, where I do not believe the true body of Christ is going to see any type of class warfare. The true body of Christ, where all races of all, where no one is better than anyone else, that we're all equal. I believe that when Jesus said, "I pray, God, that they would be one as we are one," that's going to happen. But when Jesus says in Matthew 24, "You will hear of wars," or excuse me, "Take no heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all of these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." And he says, "For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom." And I believe there, and if you look into what that word really means, he's talking about class warfare. Then tell me what you think. Because we know that kingdom against kingdom is simply, he's saying that's country rising against country. But nation against nation, once again, 1484 in Strong's Concordance, that is where we get our, that word there is ethnos in the Greek, which is where we get our word ethnic. And it means a race, a nation, the nations. And to even go into a little bit more, it talks about how it's anybody who's joined by practicing similar or common culture, usually referring to even unbelieving Gentiles. So it's saying that not only are ethnic group going to rise against ethnic group in the world, not the church. This is a sign of the world as a whole. Not only are they going to be rising against ethnic group against ethnic group, but it's going to be subcategories and subcategories of people. Anybody that just has a common culture or practicing similar things in a daily way are going to be pitted against one another. Cultural Marxism creates an exhaustive list of categories of people. But let's not forget that in God's eyes, there's only two groups of people: those who have loved his son Jesus and those who have ignored him, forsaking the free gift of salvation. Those who have walked the narrow road that leads to life and those who have traveled down the road that leads to destruction. Those that on the day of the great white throne judgment, who deserve to be in hell, but by the grace of God and no merit of their own, but the merit of him who lived in perfect obedience to the law, those that will be forgiven of their sins against a holy and righteous God. Once again, not because of any good things they did on earth, but because of the atonement Jesus made for us on that cross. And those that will stand before God at the great white throne judgment, who will receive a just verdict to be condemned for all of eternity. on that day, there will be no successful appeal by the guilty. There is no chance of parole. There is no longer any grace afforded to the unbeliever on that day. There will only be perfect judgment. This group, because they have forsaken Jesus, will be left bare before a holy God with no atonement for their sins. Two groups in God's eyes. Those who love Jesus and those who have forsaken him. And I want to end with this. If you have any question in your heart, whether or not Jesus is the Lord and Master of your life, I pray right now that you would confess your sins unto the Lord, repent, turn from, and cling to him, to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and to believe it in your heart, and you will be saved. We talk about all the things that are happening on planet Earth, but one day it'll just be a thing that happened 10 billion years ago. This is a vapor we're living in right now, a shadow of a larger reality. And what you decide here determines where you spend all of eternity. Listen, if you tuned in halfway through this program and you missed the first 5 minutes, or we talked about the severe situation that we're in here at the ministry, I pray that you would actually go back and watch the first 5 minutes. We love you guys, and we'll see you next week.